elements. It'll also have, provide an opportunity for tollway marketing opportunities to come in whatever form that may be. It may be an announcement regard to unpaid tolls. It may be an announcement regarding to the availability of new services. It may be through an appeal process of unpaid tolls. I'm sensitive toward that. There's any number of things because these provide real-time information to the traveling public. It'll provide community services. If some community where the tollways either traverses through or has a oasis located in, is celebrating a community event of some type, there will be opportunities for those communities to participate on these signs as well. Some of the benefits of digital signage are the computerization delivery of this information. It provides a safe and immediate change of ad copy, offers advertisers and communities flexibility, real-time delivery. A 2008 Arbitron study found favorable public reaction to these signs. They provide an important community service. Digital billboards were deemed attractive, useful, and cool, and they're found frequently in communities that embrace technology. Some of the benefits to the public, and I'm going to get a little off my topic right here because there have been so many recent things where these signs have just been fabulously effective. But all of the published research concludes that these signs are safety neutral. They issue public safety notices and emergency notifications. The recent tornadoes and floods throughout the central United States, the tornadoes in St. Louis, I was there this past weekend, still had signs indicating to people that were looking for community resources, community help, and FEMA assistance were posted on electronic billboards. The signs throughout the New Orleans and Baton Rouge area were providing information for emergency evacuation routes. Today, right as we speak, the Florida Department of Emergency Management is conducting testing with the Outdoor Advertising Association of Florida to test the system in preparation for the upcoming hurricane season to provide emergency notifications and evacuation routes. The National Highway and Transportation Safety Administration has sponsored numerous programs utilizing this technology. Clicker Ticket, Buzz Driving, Buckle Up America, Distracted Driving, Drive by the Rules, Keep the Privilege. In December 2010, a FEMA case study in summary stated, digital technology enables quick delivery of emergency messages via high-tech billboards. Public-private partnerships harness these high-tech signs to inform the public about weather warnings, evacuation routes, and safety-related information. In 2010, there was tragically a police officer that was shot and critically injured, sustaining life-threatening injuries in Fairfield, New Jersey, where we have a business operation. The officer, Gerald Veneziano, he did survive, but the only method that the Fairfield Police Department utilized was electronic billboards to help capture the man that shot him. He was captured and he was apprehended. And the chief of police, Charles Volker, thanked CBS Outdoor as being the only assistance in the capture of this man. This was posted the morning of March the 11th in San Francisco. This is the Port of Oakland property, the Bay Bridge approach, when it was thought that tsunamis from the earthquake in Japan may reach, and in fact they did reach the West Coast. And so this told people to tune into emergency notifications in the event of evacuation routes or emergency evacuations. And this was done the morning that this had happened. A few notes on benefits to the public regarding economic impact and the creation of jobs. This is really a little bit of a trickle-down approach through the advertisers. As I said, most of the advertisement, over 60% of what we see on these types of signs are local businesses. They may be car dealerships, they may be retail opportunities, they may be all sorts of things. But the money that is generated through that and the business improvement with this undeniably valuable form of advertising helps create jobs and improving tax bases to the communities that we operate in. It's a proven method of communication, and it's a very unique opportunity for a public-private endeavor that'll just result in a win for everybody that's involved. Billboards are an important means of communication, especially for these local businesses. In 2007, a billboard advertising study in Chicago found that 1,552 local businesses employed 37,055 people that used outdoor advertising. The businesses are a cornerstone of the economy for the Chicago area. The planned digital billboard at the Oasis will not only benefit the industry, but will provide an important contributor to the regional economy. The public-private endeavor will help drive an increase in sales for local advertisers, expanding the state and municipal tax base. And we look forward to working with you. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. I had a question. You did enumerate some benefits for tollway users and some for the tollway itself. On the financial end, are there any positive implications for the tollway revenue here, directly or indirectly?
We believe they are. If I misspeak, someone please correct me.
I'm Cynthia Tucker from SFI. There's a breakpoint in the ground lease between ISPA and SFI that is, let's say, at X dollars. Right now, you are so far below that number that, you know, through the general percentage rents, you will never, I mean, you're below like 1% of it at this point, below 10%. With the CBS, the way the lease is written, 100% of the CBS base rent is eligible to be included in the percentage rent calculation to the benefit of ISPA. All of it gets credited towards that percentage rent. So you're going to be more than halfway to getting to that break point where you might actually, and we think you probably will be able to participate in the percentage rent, but it's almost all of it is attributable to the fact that the CBS rent is characterized in such a way that it all goes towards the ISTA share of the percentage rent.
I think the indications were that I think you referred to it as safety neutral. Is that what I heard?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What does that mean exactly, your own terms?
That means that all of the data that has been collected with regard to the studies that have anything to do with billboards, static billboards or digital billboards, have concluded that there is no impact by the addition of static billboards or electronic billboards to traffic safety.
And that's been looked at in almost every scenario or situation, including, you know, a high-speed expressway, tollway situation?
Yes, sir. Director, there have been study upon study in Rochester, Minnesota, in Cleveland, Ohio, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Reading, Pennsylvania, Richmond, Virginia, long list, just a very long list. And there has been no statistical deviation of traffic accidents accredited for these signs. They were studied before the signs were erected and after they were built and operational. And there's been no statistical indication of an increased accident rate as passing through these signs in any of the communities.
And so there's some body of evidence indicating that it does not create a safety problem.
Yes, sir.
Okay. When these things first started coming out, I heard there was some concern not only about the technology itself and distraction it might create, but also some concern specifically about how frequently the message or the screen itself would change messages. What can you tell us about that?
The terminology that's utilized is referred to as dwell time. And that's how long the image appears on the sign. It's regulated from one state to another. The regulations in Illinois require a 10-second display time. Mm-hmm. And so that is a part of the permit, which is granted by the Department of Transportation, that their signs will change no more frequently than what the state law allows, which is 10 seconds.
Okay. Now, I noticed that, I think the Oakland, the picture of the Oakland,
can you see if you can
go forward?
Yes, sir.
That obviously had a physical post or pole that supported that billboard. which in this case, I guess, would be some, in the tollway instance, would be somewhat different because it would be supported by the building itself. But I notice that there's a prominent CBS logo displayed on that. Is that going to be part or parcel of what gets shown on tollway buildings?
I can be fairly confident that there will be a CBS logo displayed somewhere with on the sign. Probably not as large or dominant as this is. The display size on this is 20 feet by 60 feet. The display size that we're working with in the on the toll authority properties are 12 feet by 41 feet.
Right.
12 feet by 41 feet. So in an economy of scale, it will be much smaller and less intrusive.
Now, also, there was a discussion of this being, you know, a positive opportunity for local businesses. My question would be, in terms of access, you know, typical pricing, et cetera, how realistic is it that a relatively small or medium-sized local business could expect to be able to utilize this service?
It's been my personal experience that it'll be very positive. The structures and the signs that are that you typically think about adjacent to the side of the roadway cost several hundred thousand dollars to construct, and they only have the opportunity to display one advertiser at a time. It's been the experience with the evolution of electronic media that it's much more affordable because you're sharing advertising exposure with a number of other people. So it's not as costly to have a display and be shared of one of eight parties on an electronic sign as it would be to occupy the static phase when you're on it 24/7.
Let me double back to the CBS logo issue. Are you the gatekeeper then to what actually gets on the board? Would you function in that capacity?
Personally, I do not.
No. I'm
not
suggesting that.
But it's CBS? Yes, sir.
Okay. So if WGN, you're going to have your CBS logo up there. If WGN wanted to advertise on that sign, what would the gatekeeper say to that?
The gatekeeper would make it available to WGN or anyone else on the space. We do a lot of advertising on our sign structures with competitive media. Outdoor advertising has always been a favorite form for competitive media, whether it's newspapers, radio stations, or televisions. Until recently, with program launches on competitive networks, they didn't mind CBS being on it at all. I can tell you that the NBC network would just as soon our logo or imprint not be on that. On a static sign, it's relatively easy to take care of. On an electronic sign, it may not be. So that would be left in the hands of the advertiser as opposed to a decision that our company would make.
Directors, any questions?
A couple. First of all, the two examples you showed, New Jersey and Oakland, were those in the tollway right away?
Can you find New Jersey and Oakland? Yes and no. And I don't mean to be vague about this at all. New Jersey Transit is both a tollway operator and a rail operator. And the sign location is on the rail facility adjacent to the tollway operator. But in New Jersey, a governmental approval for the location of that is required, so it encompasses the whole thing. Fairly similar to the Port of Oakland. The Port of Oakland owns the airport, it owns the Oakland Coliseum, and it owns and operates the Bay Bridge. So this is, yes, it's all Port of Oakland
property. It's tollway, but it's typically it's further than our right of way. Secondly, are there any other overhead oasis that you guys advertise on?
No, sir.
Okay. My only concern, and believe me, I'm all for advertising, and it doesn't bother me, but in this particular situation, obviously, line of sight is the key, and so the higher it is, the further off it is, the less suspecting it is. One of the things, staff, whoever, some information would be, this has an exit right before the oasis, that people are slowing down to go up the exit, where there's some signage. And the problem is the height. I mean, that would be my biggest concern. Does it come up so quickly after this exit? I don't know if that's doable by a study. Obviously, if you go on top of the tollway, the oasis would be better, but I'm sure the Beautification Act would prohibit something like that. So that would be the only concern, the height of it and the time in your line of sight, because that's what makes those high billboards like your last two really not distracting. As you said, no accidents, at least that can be traced to those. I don't know, maybe in Europe there's some overhead oasis. I don't know if there's any staff, if you could. I know I've seen overhead oasis on the Autobahn, but I don't know if there's somewhere that might have, because it's a little lower and it's a little closer to the highway, and we have an exit right before it.
Director, it's my understanding that overhead advertisements over the right-of-way, and that's part of the reason that these were approved in the location that they were approved in, that anything that spans the right-of-way would be deemed non-compliant by the Federal Highway Administration. That would be potentially more distracting than something to the side of the road. The height of these above the grade of the roadway is roughly 25 to 30 feet, and a little higher than the bridge of the oasis that spans the oasis that you're going under. If you think about some of the existing signs on these separated crossings that I spoke of, and I'm going to cite one just because I kind of know where it is, on 294 near Gulf Road, south of Willow Road. The sign's located, the supporting post is located on private property. It's on railroad property where the railroad tracks run underneath the tollway. And you can literally stand on the side of the bridge and almost touch the supporting pole. And it is probably about 25 feet, actually that one is a little bit taller, about 40 feet, above from the bottom of the sign, above the parapet wall to the bridge. So the measurements are not, as a horizontal measurement, right next to you as you drive past it.
Well, look, I don't pretend to be an authority on this. I'm just wondering if somewhere in this universe of ours there's some comparable.
I'm not familiar. I'm not personally familiar with the director. Right.
To stay after, we're basically proposing a study be done of the use of these types of signs on the tollway.
Yeah, I think. You know, Mitch has done a good job of telling us what the world of electronic billboards are, and we recognize this is a unique application for us anyways, and they recognize it too, so they've agreed to help us at least conduct a study. And the study, we're going to do everything possible to make it independent of both of us so that we have something out there that we've looked at things and we want it to run concurrently with the installation of these signs and actually go on for 3 years. So we'll have some real hard data on that, actually what it's doing to traffic and if there's any adverse impacts and if we need to, you know, rethink how these things are positioned or how they're operating.
So that leads me to ask, you know, what are at the conclusion, obviously, and we can't study their impact unless they're up. And so that means 3 years hence, you know, we have some kind of, or so, we have some information about how they're impacting this, that, or another thing. What right do we have to say they're not working for us or they're not what they should be? I mean, what rights do we have to address their status at that point?
That's a good question. Could any guys, something that we worked out in the terms of approval, if any, the tollway could condition its approval based on reasonable restrictions.
So, Tom, that would lead me to ask, you know, what is required or what's necessary from the tollway to give approval on the whole thing?
The SFI has proposed the sublease as is, so it's up to the tollway to review the sublease and make a determination. It could be an unconditional rejection, it could be an unconditional acceptance, or it could be something in between.
And then, sir, the time allocated for tollway use on this electronic billboard, or these electronic billboards are typical, what's a standard in the industry there?
It's predicated upon the space being available and unsold to existing advertisers. Hopefully, let me condition that. In the event of an emergency, an Amber Alert, or anything like that, that supersedes any paid advertisement that's going on. So if there were to be an emergency warning, Amber Alert, anything, that just displaces whatever advertising copy is running on the board. Then if there's any unsold or available space, we have the opportunity to put in public service programming or tollway programming without dedication, because there's a revenue sharing allocation to the agreement that we have. We want to be able to pay our landlords as much money as we can, and that indicates selling as much advertising as we can. Mm-hmm. So there is not necessarily, and this is very common within the industry, a dedicated amount. It's based on a space of availability.
Interesting, because in a sense, we're the landlord of the landlord. Yes.
Yes,
sir. And so my question is relative to the tollway, then what I'm hearing, I think, is that we have a lot of opportunity to advertise at 3 a.m. Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of traffic at that particular moment in time. So, I mean, that's kind of my takeaway right now, unless you convince me otherwise. But I'd also like to know what U.S. Equity's rights and abilities are vis-a-vis utilizing that space, for instance, to talk about a farmer's market, something like that.
If I may, their rights and abilities are the same as yours, and they pass through to you, or yours pass through to them. And the opportunity that we have to work with SFI is granted by the prime lease agreement that you have with SFI. So that there's no pecking order, so to speak. We also do not have a day part or a time part that would be eligible for bad advertising time or something like that. These are sold in increments of up to one day, or a month, or 6 months, or a year. And so anytime that there's in a rotation, the availability to put something in there, we make it available to any number of charitable applications.
So practically speaking, from your experience, what kind of daytime opportunities might the tollway have? Would they be ample or very limited? Or
no, I believe they would be. We've just finished with Misericordia Candy Days, for example, and run them in a full rotation for a month in advance of their Candy Days fundraiser.
I mean, certainly CBS would have the right when it's being negotiated with the advertiser, to say, we're going to run you 23 hours or 22 hours, and those 2 hours are going to be rotating as it goes forward. I mean, it's a negotiable matter.
Yes, sir, it is.
But just to be clear, we have in our proposed sublease with CBS a provision in which, to the extent there's no advertising for any block of time, then the Oasis will have the ability to promote itself and the tollway and anything else it wants to for the public good. Obviously, other, you know, than the Amber Alerts, which take precedence over anything.
But that tells me, staff, I don't know that. As part of our approval process, we want to make sure that we utilize your ability to some extent to have some access ourselves as the tollway per se.
Absolutely. We consider ourselves as one.
You know, I just glanced at that. I mean, I don't see the difference between that and advertising on every bridge we built for the whole time. I mean, it's bridge height. I mean, we don't do that. I mean, just because we put the building there?
The FHWA, the tollway in 2006 amended its rules mm-hmm. to provide that the Oasis were not part of the tollway right-of-way. And that was important to the FHWA in holding that it did not have jurisdiction. And hence, the advertising could go up in those.
So in other words, this is a somewhat exclusive situation. That if we were talking about overpasses, bridges, et cetera, that are owned by us, that those would be considered right-of-way, and then we'd have a problem getting approval, right? Content of the ads, you know, I mean, people have different filters and concerns. What kind of experience have you had in terms of the public complaining about a particular ad? For instance, something doesn't need to be obscene to be offensive to some people. You get
very seldom, but it does happen. As being basically part of the television network, we have a very thin line of what we can want. There is an element to the contract that we wrote in. Should there be something that is deemed to be contrary to community standards, that we will remove that advertisement upon request from the tollway.
Is there any other questions?
You kind of touched on it, but this is actually advertising for the whole area rather than, can we focus on something for the Oasis itself? Have we thought about that? It seems like as you're coming down here and you see that sign, and if it's advertising McDonald's, you have to wait until you get the next Oasis before you went to a McDonald's. So this is actually broad advertising for big companies or whatever that would choose to advertise in this rather than this particular Oasis or like they were talking about a farmer's market. So that, have they thought about that or have we thought about how we could, you know, you're putting it on the Oasis, but it doesn't really have a big advertisement for that Oasis or the tollway at that point.
Director, I understand your point for that patron of the toll authority that's driving underneath at that time. But if they know in advance that, say, 4 or 5 days later, there's an opportunity for an event, then it is, you're absolutely correct, it's a brand awareness building. But part of something that's really important in our industry is the repetition of the time that the consumers see the advertisement.
And further, we plan to work with the merchants that have multiple locations, so that if they're offering a special, then you're aware of it, you're aware of it in advance. There are other programs that we've been talking about multiple visits, if you go to different OACs, getting some sort of benefit from that. So there are a number of different plans that can derive from this. It would be great for marketing.
And will our advertising for the, like if somebody wants to advertise the price of the gasoline, it will be the same all the way through our tollways? Is that what we would be doing?
You mean at 7-Eleven?
So, you know, if somebody's somebody has an advertisement for the gas that's being sold at the Oasis, every one of them will have the same price, is that correct?
That would be a function of what.
So that would be.
That why don't we explain the
Director,
pricing?
If I may, the pricing, our contract with 7-Eleven Corporation mandates that they must provide value pricing. Every Oasis is allowed up to 5 comparators within their local community so that they're pricing their price comparable to the local community. So what you will find is at Belvedere, the price structure may be different. It's only because the competitive community is. It's more comparative to Belvedere. Okay?
Any other questions, Mr. Manson? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our agenda talks about next steps. Tonight, I had a couple concerns and questions, I think, relative to, as long as we're talking about SFI and U.S. equities and their operations, that, and to some extent, 7-Eleven is involved in this issue as well, but that is the upkeep of the parking lots in general. In my observation has been in visiting those, that, particularly in the trucking areas, but elsewhere as well. There is probably, you know, the condition of those parking lots could be better. And I don't know what observations of staff are on that or SFI. Do you have any comments on that? I think there is some obligation for maintenance within our contracts with both those entities. Is that correct?
I'll take a stab at answering the first part of that. Between 2008 and 2010, when Wilton was in control, there was about $124,000 spent on the parking lots. Since SFI took control and took title, we're actually on track to spend in 2011 about $1,037,000 on the parking lot maintenance. So we're we're playing catch up here, but you know, that's a pretty big increase in expenditure.
Okay. And would you characterize most of that expenditure as going toward temporary repairs as opposed to repaving or permanent repairs?
Well, you know, most of it is going towards the truck parking lots, mm-hmm. And I'm not an engineer, but we're not rebuilding the parking lots at this point. You know, we are to some extent playing catch up from all the deferred maintenance from back in the Wilton days. We could get into some of the specifics, but I'd say the bulk of it is going towards the worst areas, which are the truck lots, which get the most wear and tear, obviously, from the trucks that are parked there.
Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, I would express somewhat of a concern. I mean, obviously, you're, in the general terminology of maintenance, you're doing maintenance. What would concern me is that in the ability to maintain these over time, however, probably will require before too long, I would guess, some kind of a capital expenditure to actually repave. I assume that the underlying foundation has integrity, but that at the very least that some of this might need to be peeled off and repaved to some degree.
We've had a third-party engineer do a fairly exhaustive study of everything, and is very familiar with the terms of the ground lease as well. So, we're working within the framework of that study. It's by an engineering company called WisGeni.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what are they doing exactly?
They read the lease thoroughly, and then they went through every single one of the parking lots and truck lots and exit and entrance ramps and did a study. And, you know, we work from their recommendations from what needs to be done.
Is that something that could be available to our folks, or I'm just asking?
I don't know. We'd have to probably get a confidentiality agreement signed, I would think, for that kind of thing.
Okay.
I mean, I agree with that. If we do have some obligation, then it's hard when we come at the last minute, because we have to financially plan and reserve. So it would be really, truly helpful.
We do have a pretty detailed 5-year capital plan that's been shared with the engineering people at ISTA, and we've gone through it together. And I think we're all in sync on the 5-year capital expenditures.
Can we get a copy of that, Paul?
We do have a copy of that. And I think it's roughly like $5 million going in over the 5 years.
Well, my concern, as I'm mayor of a city in the neighborhood here, you know, and I'm familiar with dealing with streets, et cetera, and I know that you can patch for some period of time, and after a period of time, it's, you know, it's not necessarily money well spent, and that what's really required is a repaving of an area, and that's what concerns me right now. And I think our entire board is mindful of the fact that those parking lots are not in the best condition in many cases, and that we need to kind of take a longer view to some degree of how we deal with that. And certainly you're a partner of ours in that endeavor, I think, by contract. So if the staff, anybody else have any comments on that? Gentlemen, are you?
Good.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think relative to, if I could, perhaps, Tom, you could give us a little rundown of how, what the next steps need to be in order for SFI to be able to move ahead with these electronic signs.
Sure. I think the next step that they submitted a sublease, their sublease with CBS for approval. Staff needs to review any changes and conditions need to be negotiated with SFI, and then, you know, with board and the tollway has to make a decision whether to go forward or not.
So that, would you characterize that decision as being ours? Or?
Yes. Under the lease, the tollway has the right to approve signage of the oasis. It's a unconditioned right, so we have substantial flexibility in making the assessment for the best interest of the tollway.
All right. Do you folks have anything to comment or say before we adjourn this?
No, sir. Thank you for your time. We appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
Okay. Appreciate your participation today. Thank you very much. If there's no other business to be taken up to do, then I would seek a motion to adjourn this meeting.
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
The meeting is hereby adjourned. Thank you very much. One and all.